Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry.
Just a bit outside.
If anything travels that far, I'd have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
It's time for Powell at the Park.
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Cubs, Sox, all your Chicago baseball news.
Dynamite drop-in money.
Here's your host, Kevin Powell.
Play ball!
Hello, friends. Kevin Powell with you. Another edition of the Powell at the Park podcast, episode number 25. It's been way too long. Way too long. And with the Eloy news this week, I wanted to get a podcast in. So we'll talk with Mark Carmen on this week's episode. Mark Carmen works for WGN Radio, doing all sorts of different things. He hosts, he does White Sox weekly, he does White Sox post games. So a lot of different things for the Carmen. And we ended up talking a little bit about everything. And I love talking with Carmen. We talk, somehow we talked Bulls. I hope you're not turning the podcast off immediately because the Bulls are horrendous and it's just a complete disaster. But Carmen is a diehard Bulls fan. I ran into him at a Bulls game this past week. So I said, Carm, why don't you come on the podcast? So we talked some Sox, some Cubs, a lot of Eloy, some Bulls, little NCAA tournament as well. Carmen used to be a beer vendor as well, longtime beer vendor at Wrigley and at Sox Park. So we'll talk about that as well. But here's my conversation with Mark Carmen. Mark Carmen at the Carm is what I call him because that's what his Twitter account is, at the Carm. He works for Fansided. He works for WGN Radio. He's a former beer vendor. Mark, what would you say to all the aspiring beer vendors? A lot of kids out there say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of them say, I want to be a beer vendor. What would you say to the young kids out there who want to someday be walking up and down the aisles of Wrigley Field and Comiskey?
Well, I would say that, Kevin, and thanks for having me on Powell the Park. Good to be here. I would say that beer vending, like anything else in life, Kevin, is not easy. Mm-hmm. First of all, you got to go through the cotton candies, the hot dogs, the peanuts to advance to being a beer vendor. This is a seniority business. They don't just hand you the red tub of the Budweiser, now the black tub of the Goose Island at a Wrigley. Or, now Southside, so many more options. I feel out of the loop, actually. I think they're walking around with Miller Lite and Budweiser. It used to be back in the day, Miller Lite, MGD, and that was it. So, you got to go through the rigors. You got to be willing to go out there on an April day and sell yourself an ice cream and, just live on the fact that you're going to walk out of there with $20-$30 and you're going to fight another day. It's a grind at the top, but it is the only profession that I did reach the pinnacle, and I am very proud of that. So thank you for bringing it up.
You don't just walk into the beer vending industry and expect to be at the top. You don't just become a vendor and expect to be selling beer right from the beginning.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do, though, and it's similar to radio, Kevin, as you know. I mean, people walk right in there. They think they're ready to be a talk show host.
Right.
They don't want to go through the grind. They don't want to produce a Steve Cochran show. They don't want to be an outstanding contributor sports guy on the Rokan show. They want their own show immediately. You are mirroring the journey of beer vending in a radio fashion, and I think that's beautiful.
That's inspirational. I appreciate the words, Carmen. When are you going to have your own talk show?
If I bang on Todd Manley's door one more time, I think that'll be the one. I think just one more bang. What do you think?
I couldn't hurt. I'd love to hear at the Carm on the regular. You can follow Carm on the Twitter at the Carm and Fansided. Tell people what you do at Fansided, Carm.
So Fansided is my video platform, Kevin. So I get to be the video host here, which is a huge honor, privilege, something I try to live up to. And we do everything, really. We'll do the deep dark documentary, full dive on a story. We'll do the try out to be a Chicago White Sox video. We'll do, and then we do your standard interviews. We do anything that'll get you to be entertained / informed in a video fashion. That's what we're bringing. So it's an interesting game, being real for a second, that, what people will watch, how much time they'll watch, what is of interest to our ever changing consummation, if you will, of media. So obviously it's a platform. People don't want to read anymore. They just want to watch things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different game than doing radio, that's for sure. But that's also the same principle. Are you entertaining or are you not?
Working on a video platform, a sports video platform, are you required to do some sort of LeBron versus Michael Jordan content at least once a week? How often do you guys require to do that?
I mean, you do want to be where the fish are swimming, right? And people always be like, "Hey, why are you talking LeBron Jordan?" You know, it's kind of funny. The LeBron Jordan video that I did here, which is a 1 minute or so take, just me voicing it with some images. I had to fight to get that done. People are like, "Why do you want to talk about LeBron and Mike?" I'm like, "I think it's the topic that people like to talk about."
Right,
and that's been our most popular.
It
video.
Gets clicks. Like, that's the most important thing.
I mean, we're well over 20 million on that thing. So that's a big number for especially for us, but so people love it. I mean, everyone's got a side, right? I mean, you're on the side of complete boredom. You don't want to hear about it anymore, but still MJ at the end of the day, right?
No question about it. Speaking of MJ, I was at the, I realize this is a podcast, so it may not be as timely if people listen to this a few days from now, but last night was Bulls Wizards. Carmen, I mean, I'm sitting there watching this. It is high school basketball with just some highly gifted athletic basketball players on the court. It was some of the worst basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Well, so you've got a 20-win Bulls team with 9 games to go in the season, and you've got a Wizards team out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You got
and Lino Levine. No Porter. No, John Wall's obviously out. It was so bad, Carmen. I mean, the most entertaining stuff at the United Center for the Bulls game was the Lovables and Benny the Bull and all the mascots celebrating Benny's birthday. It was tough to watch. I mean, it was fun. I had a great time because it's the United Center and it's still the NBA, et cetera, and there's beer involved. But it was real. I mean, it's just like, damn. We were all, basically the whole time I'm sitting with my buddies, we were just talking about, like, man, I just miss, like, the Rose era. Obviously, I miss, like, the Jordan era. It was so tough to watch, and I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel yet, Carmen. Inspire me. Where are the Bulls at?
Okay. The light at the end of the tunnel is Zion Williamson.
Yes, I know, but the Bulls are winning. They won the freaking game. What are you doing?
That was the whole point of last night, like, freaking miss a shot. Oh, Chris Dunn's having a great night. Let's go down the stretch then with Ryan Arcidiacono. This is not hard to do, Jim Boylan. But Jim Boylan's over there, and he's screaming at Bobby Portis to try to get him to miss a jump shot. He's screaming at Jeff Green, which is just bizarre. Boylan's going to Boylan, I guess. But, you know, the whole point of last night was to lose the game, and the Bulls were unable to execute that. But I'm sorry you did not have a better time. Come back in about
No, I had next year. Honestly, I had a great time. I really did. It was still fun. It's the United Center. It was my first Bulls game in a while. But I did see at the Carm just walking by. Do you go to every Bulls game? You're a diehard Bull. That's your number one team, right? I mean, I know you cover the teams, but as a fan, like, you love the Bulls. When I see Carm, I think Bulls.
I mean, you know, first game, Kev, 1979, something around there, maybe in 81. Don't really know the year. 112-107, lost the Atlanta Hawks, first balcony, old Chicago Stadium. Second game, Washington Bullets, 94-92 winner. The days of Orlando Woolrich, Quentin Daly, RIP to both those guys, pre-Michael. So the Bulls in basketball has always been in my blood, number one. That is a true story, 100%.
Tell the story about when you asked Michael Jordan a question in the locker room that didn't fly over all that well. If you want to, you don't have to.
Yeah, no problem. 1997, I believe, second to last year with the Bulls. Carmen, that's me. I just graduated the University of Iowa. I had no plan in life whatsoever.
Go Hawkeyes.
Started doing the internship at Columbia College because I heard through the grapevine that they had a class there that would get you into the Bulls locker room. I literally continued my educational career just to get into the Bulls locker room via Red Motlow, another RIP. So Motlow brings me into the locker room. It's preseason. They're playing the now defunct Vancouver Grizzlies turned Memphis Grizzlies. And Jordan's there. He's like the last guy. He would always come out last. Everybody would do their interviews, then Mike would come out in his three-piece suit, talk to everybody, and it would be in waves. Like, there would be one wave of reporters. They'd leave, then two, then three. he'd answer the same question three different times. So we're down to, like, I'm in the last wave. There's, like, 12 of us hanging out, and Mike is just sitting there taking questions. Like, he's not racing to go anywhere. It's preseason. He's chill. So I just decided to jump in with a question first time in there, and he was on Oprah the day before, and they played this old rap video of him and young Horace and young Scotty, and they were all dancing to How You Like Me Now, which was a great song. And so I asked him for a, hey, Michael, how about a How You Like Me Now dance a la Oprah? And he looked at me like I was the biggest moron on the planet as a nice 23-year-old and just said, don't jump in. and everybody laughed, the whole media laughed, and then he walked away, interview over. And I'm like, this is the one time in my life I'm going to be around the guy. I tried to go for the joke, tried to be funny.
Right.
He shot me down. Everybody laughed, and I was sitting there like a complete moron, which is sort of similar to what happened with Scott Brooks last night of the Wizards when I was asking him about Jim Boylan. But that's the story. And I will forever slightly regret that one, although it has, at least it was something to talk about, right?
Well, I'm asking you about it all these years later. Wait, what happened last night with the Wizards?
Well, Scott Brooks, you know, I'm there for the pregame. By the way, I hope you appreciate my pregame audio that I'm sending.
I'm
sure you're not using it, but I'm sending it anyway.
Try to send an MP3, though. The M4A thing is difficult. But, yes, it's wonderful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Quick download, and you're good to go. Give me a download.
No, I appreciate it. I am using it. Thank you.
There you go. It's okay if you're not. I wouldn't. And nobody really cares about pregame bull tape right now. But you might have it. You're working.
Right,
you might
right,
as well
right.
have it.
Yes.
So, but the point being is that Jim Boylan's getting in fights with Doc Rivers. He's getting in fights with the Suns coach Igor Kokolov, or whatever his name is. So, I mean, other coaches got to be paying attention to this, right? And now he's screaming at players as they're shooting jump shots. So I asked Scott Brooks in his pregame, which was a real awkward pregame, like, hey, man, like, what's any reaction to Jim getting into it with Doc Rivers and Igor? And he just looked at me and he's like, you want me to respond to that? Yes, Scott, I do. I'm curious your thoughts on Jim. Like, yeah, no. Anybody got any questions about tonight's game? Like, he didn't want anything of it, which, by the way, does tell you that he thinks that Jim Boylan is being a clown, right? That's how I read it.
I read it that way as well. I didn't even realize all of that with Boylan, so I'm learning some bull stuff. I did not call you to talk bulls, but it is fascinating to hear Carmen talk bulls because you're so passionate about it, and nobody knows bulls like at the car, Mark Carmen. Okay, Mark Carmen, yes, he works at Fanside. He works here at WGN. He does a ton of Sox coverage for us. He does pregame, postgame. What do you do? Do you do pregame, postgame, both? I mean, it's you, Hogue, Mazur. What's the situation this year?
I'm more of the postgame / White Sox weekly for it.
Gotcha.
Saturday afternoon White Sox recap for me and Harry Tynowitz. That's I would call that my role.
There you go. You can hear Carm and Harry Saturday afternoons. Okay, Carm, big news, Eloy news. It sounds like opening day just got a whole lot more interesting for the White Sox. Eloy Jimenez, Sox haven't confirmed it yet, at least as we record this podcast. They lock him up. To a six-year deal worth reportedly $43 million, a couple club options, that would make it $75 million. That would shatter the record for a contract for a player who's never even stepped foot in a batter box in a major league game. Your thoughts on the Eloy situation, and good move, bad move, what do you think?
I mean, universally approved, right?
Yeah, right.
You bought out a year of free agency. You're getting him to start the season now. You have cost certainty. The only downside is if he sucks, then now you're eating some dough. But you're not eating like huge money that's going to cripple you with your salary cap, especially with the White Sox, who are spending absolutely no money.
Right.
So I'm on board with everybody. Win, 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 win. And the Sox have just done a great job of signing guys early. There's a ton of dudes: Chris Sale, Jose Quintana, Tim Anderson. I mean, this has been a formula that the White Sox have been able to execute. And
Jose Quintana. I mean, those contracts that Rick Hahn did with Sale and Quintana factored into their trade value.
You know what I mean? 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why
doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's why, like, with the Quintana thing, that's why, you know, Theo, when they made that trade, Theo was like, we felt like we got a player and a half because of the contract alone. You know, that gave them some flexibility. So that's why they were able to get Cease and Eloy.
Yeah, I mean, that trade right now looks like a home run for the Sox and a complete dud for the Cubs. And 100%. I mean, if Jose Quintana was making the money that he should have been making at that time, there's no way the White Sox get that level of value. And same thing with Chris Sale. And that was, you know, it's kind of I saw on Twitter yesterday, a couple people like putting out there, this is going to be huge when the Sox, if this thing doesn't work out in 3-4 years to make a team, you know, you might be trading Eloy. I mean, nobody wants that to happen, but like if you did have to trade him down the line to do some, you know, another rebuild, which, you know, God forbid that happens right. For the Sox. But if it did, you do have a guy on a great value. So, I mean, there's a lot there. Even that side of it is something to like. A little uncomfortable to talk about, but right. But yet something that actually could be in play.
Yeah. Do you think there was any motivation to get this done after missing out on Machado?
I do. I mean, 3%, though. Like, you know, I think they still would make the same deal if they had signed, if Machado had signed on for the $250 million 8-year deal with a couple of options. But I think that, you know, I keep reading that, well, now this year they got to bring up Dylan Cease because they didn't get Machado. Like, that's not the way any good organization is going to think. You're going to bring him up in my mind, Dylan Cease comes up this year is if he's lights out at AAA for the first half of the season. Then you could bring him up in, say, July and maybe have him pitch until, you know, the end of August, middle of September. But here's a guy that's still, most of the things he's thrown in the minor leagues is 124. Like, I don't see you doing, like, he has an up-and-down year, and then he gets hot like Kopech did last year, and you bring him up at the end of August. That, to me, wouldn't make any sense. You're still trying to develop a guy and build his arm strength so he can have a long career. But, operating, well, now this didn't happen, so now we're going to do this. That's not a way a good organization would go about their business. And, you know, I don't think the White Sox are being impacted. I wouldn't think that they're making decisions based on that. However, I think there probably was like a drop of a, this would be nice to just sort of put out there to the fans that we have it done.
Yeah, a little bit of a bone for the fans. But Rick Hahn has preached patience, and I believe he's sticking with that despite missing out on the free agent. Starting outfield for the White Sox opening day, go.
Yeesh. Well, I don't see why you would not have Eloy up here, so let's put him out there. I'm hoping that Pelka is going to be good enough to go, so I would personally put him in left, and then I'm going to roll with Adam Engel in center and let John Jay B come off the bench. I don't get the John Jay thing. You're not really trying to. I would still favor developing players even at the start of the year versus playing a veteran. That'd just be me. I mean, you got to be honest where you're at. So that's how I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, John Jay, they signed him for Machado. I don't
right.
care. I don't care
Machado.
What the Sox say. You brought in Jay and Alonso for Machado. Whatever the White Sox tell us.
Right. I would both those guys. I would. I mean, the only reason to play them is so you can get something for him in July. I mean, I wouldn't think that either of those guys will be here for the entire season. Yeah. Would be my guess. I mean, for what point? What are you going to do with Yonder right. Alonso? Right. You're going to make Jose Abreu be a DH because you want to play him at first base? I don't think so.
At the Carm's official pick to click this year, who's going to surprise everyone? Is it Moncada? Is it Rodon pulling a full year together? Who you got?
I'm going to go with the guy that I think is the key to the whole season as far as if the White Sox really are going to surprise and do anything. So I'm going to take Lucas Giolito despite the terrible
spring.
All right,
I like that.
I mean, I really do think, like, if Giolito makes a huge leap, and a huge leap, by the way, could be a 4-5 ERA, right? I mean, I'm not looking for him to be in the threes here. Mm-hmm. Just be a credible 4.5 guy, 6 innings, 3 runs, solid starter out there every time. I mean, that would be a big, big move for Giolito and the White Sox.
I like it. Okay, I know you're busy watching March Madness, but I got to talk Cubs with you just for a few minutes, okay?
But I take your time, KP. I'm here.
Yu Darvish, what kind of year does he put together?
So I think he's on the DL in May.
What? What are you going with? What sort of injury?
Anything.
He's got a blister situation now. Is it a lingering blister for Darvish?
Yes, that's the first DL is a lingering blister. They got to shut him down. Not a big deal. It's just fine, but they got to make sure it's right. We don't want it to impact his delivery, so he goes on the DL with the blister. That'll be early in the season. Then later in the season, we're going to have the elbow's going to crop up, the shoulder's going to crop up, the forearm's going to crop up, something's going to crop up. I am not a believer in Yu Darvish. I did not like the signing then. I don't like it now. I don't care how healthy and strong and amazing he feels. I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm predicting multiple stints on the DL for you.
I know you weren't a fan of the signing. That's why I brought him up immediately. Chris Bryant will be right back in the MVP race. Am I wrong?
No, I'm with you. I think
he has a monster year.
I mean, he's having a huge year. I mean, he's throwing down dunks, which was huge.
He was trying to throw down dunks. He was hanging out with Zach LaVine, though, out in Phoenix.
Yeah, I should clarify that. He threw down one dunk.
There was a viral video of Chris Bryant trying to dunk, if anybody missed it, and he was hitting front of the rim all afternoon. He finally got one down.
I mean,
for a pro athlete who's like 6'5", I mean, come on. That shouldn't be that hard, right?
Right. Well, but that's where we go. Baseball athleticism, hand-eye versus actually getting off the floor. But I think KB is huge here, and rooting for it. He's got to be super incentivized on like 7 different levels, right?
Yeah.
Number one, you had a bad year. Number two, you're seeing all this money out there. Number three, you're getting closer to being a free agent. Number four, the guy's pride of performance, period. So yeah. I think big year.
Yeah, I remember talking to him after the wild card loss last year, and of all the guys we talked to, he seemed the most frustrated and most focused to take advantage of the offseason and get back to where he needs to be. We all know what he can be. I mean, he's an MVP guy. He went from, 25 homers as a rookie to MVP year in 2016. So I think he's going to bounce back. Biggest concern for the Cubs this year?
I just think you have a lot of the same exact issues. Like, everyone's thinking that the offense is going to be a whole lot better. You still don't have, and I know that's not the case in baseball nowadays, very few of them, but you still don't have a bona fide leadoff hitter. I'm not sure exactly how you're going to go about your outfield. Who's playing second base? I mean, are you bringing in some Russell back into the fold? I mean, listen, they have all the talent, but I just... You know, the concern is that they just look the same. These guys that they're hoping are all going to take big leaps are just not what they thought they were, and they should have dealt them when they had the shot to pull off a trade for like a Christian Yelich type, which I think if you could rewind time, I'm wondering if the Cubs were in on that conversation. Certainly they should have been. But, I mean, I don't know. Is Kyle Schwarber going to have a huge bounce back year? Same thing with Ian Happ. Is Albert Amora going to take the next step? I mean, I think it's a lot of question marks as far as really those guys doing that to allow the Cubs to get from a team that can make the playoffs to a team that can actually win the whole thing.
We started with basketball talk. Let's end with basketball talk. Final four?
I got Duke and Carolina in my final two, with Duke beating Carolina, boringest pick of all time. And KP, I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember who else I got. I think I knocked out Virginia. I don't know what I did. Maybe I had Michigan in there.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament, I'll end on a hot take, most overrated thing in the history of sports.
I saw you tweeting about that. I didn't know if you were trolling people who hate it or people who are obsessed with it. You're not a fan, really?
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I get into it.
I'm not saying I don't get into it, but it's like, this is the greatest sports day. Settle down. Just settle down.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But, you know, I think for a lot of people it's exciting because for you watch basketball, college hoops, like, every night. There are a lot of people who are like, college basketball doesn't start until late March. So that's why people get excited.
And everybody's got dog in the race, all that type of stuff. And end of the day here, there's some part of me that's like bitter NBA guy going on here. Like, just, I watch this, I'm like, how can you like this basketball as much as the NBA, despite the fact that KP had a boring time watching the Bulls last night?
Yeah.
Don't factor that in.
Yeah, I was
for the NBA play.
I was forever on the NBA so much better than college. Forever. Because why? Because the NBA has more talent. But Carmen, the NBA sucks right now. It is impossible to watch. I prefer this year's NCAA college year, college hoops, was so much more entertaining than the NBA. I mean, Zion Williamson is more entertaining than like anybody in the NBA for me right now.
Right, that's true. It's been the Zion Williamson thing is phenomenal, and he'll be in the NBA next year.
He's also a badass, and I love his mentality. I know a lot of people are like, why are you playing? You shouldn't play. You're going to get millions of dollars. And he's like, I'm not leaving my boys out there. I come to kill every night. That's what he said after his first game back when he didn't miss a single shot. He's been so fun to watch. I can't wait to see what he does in the NBA.
I mean,
get him on the Bulls, Carm. Talk to your connections in the NBA. You're the hoops guy. Make it work. Rig it. Cheat the system. I don't care what you got to do. Pay somebody off. Get Zion on the Bulls, and I'm back on the Bulls train.
I'll do everything I possibly can, KP. And he's the only guy in the history of college hoops that's ever made Duke likable. It's pretty amazing.
I know. That's a very great point. He is at the Carm. Mark Carman. He works at WGN. You can follow his stuff, fansided.com. He's cranking out videos every day. And if you're ever looking for a good MJ versus LeBron debate, Mark Carman is your go-to man. He's my buddy. Love him. Thank you for jumping on, Carm. I appreciate it. Somehow I think we talked more basketball than baseball, and this is really sort of a baseball podcast, but you know, that happens when you talk with the Carm.
You play to the strengths of your guest, KP. That's why people are lining up to come on. I appreciate it. It was great to get the text last night, and good to be with you, man.
You got it, my brother. I'll talk to you soon. That's going to do it for episode number 25 of the Powell at the Park podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at KPowell720. And hopefully I'm going to start cranking these things out on a more regular basis with baseball picking up. White Sox Cubs news. And you can listen to me on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVontes every afternoon, 3 to 7, WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.